This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar! Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah! Ashhadu an la ilaha أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم كتابه إلا تنصروه فقد نصره الله. He says subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Tawbah as he speaks about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and this was during the battle of Tabuk towards the end of his life alayhi salatu wasalam. He says in this surah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you do not stand by him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already done that. And he refers back to the night of Hijrah. This is the fourth or fifth khutbah that I've given regarding the five categories of community investment. I share with you every week one of the five categories that I think as a Muslim community in the West, or specifically in this city or in this country, the minority that we are, that there are five categories that we should be investing in because I think they're important and because I think we can. It's a combination of two things. Because I think they're very important and because I think we can do it. There may be other categories that trump them in importance, but we can't. We don't have the tools yet. I am not claiming that these five categories are perfect, nor are they divine. They're just my opinion after being here for 10 years. And I'm sharing them with you. You can take them, you can leave them. But after watching the movement of our community and how things actually occur, the mad and jazra, as they say, the tides as they move within a society, I think these five categories are important. And I've shared with you three so far. I've talked to you about education. And I've talked to you about mentorship, and I've talked to you about outreach. And I specifically took some time to make sure you understood the difference between education and mentorship. They're not the same thing. There may be some overlap, but they're not the same. And within the society that we live in the West, we have to actually invest in both separately. Where I grew up, we didn't. Because the person who educated me was the person who mentored me. It just worked that way. There were enough resources, and the way life occurred and the way we actually lived allowed for it. I don't think it's possible here. We are very isolated. We are scattered all over a very large city. There's not enough time. And there's just that possibility is very difficult to achieve. And then outreach, which I talked about last week, which we don't do a very good job at. Today, I'm going to talk about advocacy, the fourth category of community investment, advocacy. Now, this is the word that I believe translates what I'm trying to explain in Arabic, which is munasara. The concept of nusra or nasr in the Quran, when it's not coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically, which is the granting of victory, if it's coming from anyone else aside from God, it is to advocate for someone's success, is to support them, is to stand by them, is to aid them in whatever means you have. That is what munasara or nusra means. This is a very important Islamic concept. If you understand that, and you take that word and you follow it along in the Quran, you find it all throughout the Quran. Example that I just gave you in Surah At-Tawbah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pointed out to the Muslims, if you don't stand by him, I have already done that before. On the night of Hijrah, when no one was with him, I stood by him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَنْصُرُوا اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. If you what? How do you تنصر الله? If it's granting victory, how does it work? If that's the only meaning for it, I'm trying to argue with you or trying to explain to you that the word nusr does not mean only granting victory, because it only means that when it's coming from God towards us. That's the only time it means that. Otherwise, it means to advocate for someone or for something, to support it, to aid it, to stand by it, to invest your time, wealth, expertise, social weight, political weight, for the cause of some sort. So he says, in tansurullah, if you offer to God, Allah does not need you to grant him victory. Then what does it mean? It means what I just explained. It means if you advocate for his causes, if you advocate for the causes of Allah, if you support them, if you stand by them, if you invest what you have in them, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you victory eventually. There's a page at the end of Surah Al-Anfal where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points this out a little bit more clearly. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آوَوْا وَنَصَرُوا أُولَٰئِكَ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. Indeed, those who believed and performed hijrah and strive with their wealth and with themselves for the sake of Allah, and those who accepted and granted nusra and supported or aided. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this verse is talking about the muhajirin and the ansar. The first group, the muhajirin, those who believed early on, they performed pilgrimage, they did hijrah, they immigrated, they went from one city to the other, and they strived with everything they had. The other group, الَّذِينَ آوَوا وَنَصَرُوا, those who accepted them into their lives, into their homes, and performed nusrah, meaning they supported them, they aided them, they advocated for them. أُولَٰئِكَ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ, they stand by one another. They are each other's allies. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يُهَاجِرُوا مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ وَلَايَتِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى يُهَاجِرُوا. And those who believed and stayed and did not move from Mecca to Medina, you don't owe them anything. They're not your allies until they leave, because you don't have allies in a foreign country. It doesn't work like that. وَإِنْ إِسْتَنْصَرُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ فَعَلَيْكُمُ النَّصْرُ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ مِيثَاقٌ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. And if they ask you for support because they're being oppressed, if they seek your advocacy because they're being mistreated, then you are obligated to offer them that. Unless it is happening towards a group of people or with a country that you have a treaty with of some sort. In that case, you have to stand back until that treaty is over. And then you continue the verses. The verses go through some explanation of those details. What I'm trying to get for you is that the concept of nusra goes back as far as Islam does itself. The idea of standing by that which is righteous, standing for just causes, for social justice of some sort. This is something that we need, we are obligated, in my opinion, specifically us, where we are obligated to do. Out of all five, this one here is where we're going to be asked a lot of questions on the Day of Judgment. Because we had the ability to do it, others don't, but we do, and yet we did not invest enough time, money into it to make sure that it worked. It's very important. The Prophet ﷺ gave you a few hadith. narrated by Imam Tirmidhi and Ahmad. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, Muslim wa akhul muslim la yakhdhuluhu. لا يخذله ولا يظلمه ولا يحقره بحسب امرئ من الشر أن يحقر أخاه المسلم. The Muslim is a brother of a Muslim, does not let him down. A Muslim does not turn their backs on other Muslims, ever. They don't do that. لا يخذله. They don't turn their backs on them. So the first thing, this hadith narrated at least 10 times by 10 different Sahaba, Abu Huraira and Ibn Umar and others. And the same wording was used for all of them. لا يخذله. Never, never let them down. Would never let them down. Anas radiallahu anhu, in the hadith narrated by Bukhari, would say the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, Unsur akhaka zaliman aw mazluma. Stand by your brother, support them. Whether they may be oppressors or being oppressed. So the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, mazluman arafna. When they're being oppressed, that's understandable, it's clear. Like, كيف ننصره ظالما? How do we stand by someone who is being an oppressor themselves? قال تحجزه أو تمنعه عن ظلمه فذلك نصره. You hold them back from oppressing others. That's how you stand by them. You stop them from oppressing others. That's how you stand by them. You're going to advocate one way or another. As a Muslim, you're going to advocate. Whether they're being oppressed or they're oppressing, you're going to advocate for what is right. If they're being oppressed, you stand by them. If they're oppressing, you stop them. Sahl ibn Hanif radiallahu anhu says, the Prophet sallallahu sallam tells us in the hadith also narrated by Imam Ahmad, قال من أذل عنده مؤمن وهو يقدر على أن ينصره فلم يفعل أذله الله على رؤوس الخلائق يوم القيامة. Someone who stands and witnesses another person being humiliated, being destroyed, mistreated, and they have the ability to advocate for them and they don't, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will humiliate them on the day of judgment in front of everybody. In a similar hadith narrated also to us by Abu Huraira from the collection of Imam Tabarani, same idea. I don't have a lot of time today, so I'm going to leave it with that. I've made my point. The concept of Nusra is very central within our deen. You stand by what is righteous. And you stand by those who are being oppressed. And you stand by your brothers, whether they are oppressors or being oppressed. And you find a way to advocate. You always do. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, for the Fatah Mecca, if you know the story, he had signed a treaty with Quraysh. And Quraysh, they couldn't stand the fact that so many people were accepting Islam, so they broke the treaty. It was a moment of anger that themselves and Bakr, one of the tribes, actually practiced, and they killed people from Khuza'a, who were allies of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So a man by the name of Amr ibn Salim, who al-Khuza'i, came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, one of the only people who made it from the massacre that they had performed. So he came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he asked him for his support and known poetry that you can find in the books. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would say, Nusirta ya Amr ibn Salim. You're going to be stood by, O Amr ibn Salim. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, on that day, moved an army. Now, when we're talking about advocacy, this is not what I'm talking about, obviously. The context here is very different. But the concept is the same. You see, when they describe the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, or at least this is how Ali ibn Abi Talib described him, قال, كان صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يغضبه شيء. Nothing could make him angry. وَلَا يَغْضَبُ لِنَفْسِهِ. He never got angry for himself. Like if someone mistreated him, misquoted him, cursed him out, spoke to him in a rude manner, this never angered him, alayhi salatu wasalam. He let it all slide. فَإِذَا تُعُدِّيَ الْحَقُّ لَمْ يَقُمْ لِغَضَبِهِ شَيْءٌ حَتَّى يَنْتَصِرَ لَهُ. But once oppression occurred, once haqq was no longer being revered, once oppression was being weighed heavier than haqq and righteousness and justice, he would continue to be angered. And he would continue to support and perform Nusra until the issue was over. Until it was over. Okay. Let's come to where this becomes important to us, because I don't want to waste too much time. We live in a place where we have voices. Now, the majority of you, if not all of you, come from a background of living in a place where that was not the case. Meaning you came, your parents or your grandparents or you yourself, they came here because they were tired of living in a place where their value was nothing, where they had no value as an individual. No one cared what they had to say. If they had an opinion, they either kept it to themselves or got completely mistreated by the closest people to them for actually talking about it or letting it out or expressing it in any form or manner. And that's why they came here. We still have that. Up till now, we still have that here. I don't know for how long, but we still do. And for the time that we do, We are obligated in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to advocate for that which is righteous. We are obligated to make sure that we use that right effectively to stand by that which is righteous and by those who are oppressed. And even those, even our own community, even if we are making mistakes and we are oppressors, we stand by our own by stopping them from doing so. The option of that not happening is not there in Islam. And allowing that to occur is a big problem. Meaning going through your life, feeling that you are not obligated to do this, that it's not your problem, that this is not your fight, that this is not something that you need to speak about or to vocalize or to get involved with, is a huge problem. Because on the Day of Judgment, you're going to be very, very disappointed. Yawm al-Qiyamah is going to be very disappointing when you find out that, oh no, you totally were. You totally were obligated to actually say something or do something or and make a difference, and you did not. And you let dhulm to continue to occur around you. And you let values to continue to disintegrate and to be taken away. See, oppression is not just physical and political oppression. There's intellectual oppression. That's been going on for over a century. That's been going on for a long time, but no one really cared. Now it's becoming a little bit more of a problem. Now people are starting to feel, oh, I can't have an opinion on things anymore. I can't uphold a value anymore. I can't safely send my children to a place where they can uphold a value anymore. It becomes an issue, and people start to feel the pinch. That comes from the lack of advocacy, because we don't advocate for that which we believe is right. And advocacy comes through a lot of forms. The Prophet ﷺ, at his time, he was the leader of a country. So obviously his advocacy will take a certain form. For us, it'll be different. It will look a little bit differently. It's not difficult. It's just that when you advocate for something, you put yourself, you're a little bit vulnerable. Let's be honest. When you advocate for something, you're vulnerable. You don't mind standing up for your own rights because they're your own rights. They're mine. If my rights are being taken away, then I might as well. You know, what's the point of living now? So I'll stand for myself. But when you stand up for someone else's, it's kind of putting yourself in a vulnerable position. Because it's not really your problem, right? Not really your problem. It's someone else's problem. Why do I have to pay for someone else's problem? This is the mentality that human beings carry. All of us, we all carry this mentality. It's not healthy. And it's not Islamic. And it does not work. It is proven that it doesn't work. That if we allow for one piece of dhulm, one act of dhulm to happen anywhere, and we hold our tongues and draw a blind eye and just look away for a while, that will come back to haunt everyone. It will. It will come back to haunt everyone. Listen to me. I come from a part of the world where I know that. I watched it. I was a part of it. I watched it occur throughout my childhood, and then I ended up here. Not because I wanted to, but because I had no choice. Why? Because oppression occurred and people let it go. They let it go for a long time. It's this big wheel of destruction of oppression that just keeps on going and destroying everything. You leave, as long as it's not hitting you, you keep your tongue to yourself, you keep your mouth shut. But then this wheel goes and it squishes people around you. You stay quiet. Eventually the wheel will squish you. And then you'll wonder, why didn't they stand by me? Didn't they see how hardly we were hit? They did, but you did too. And you didn't care either. So why are you so surprised? When the Syrian conflict occurred, I'm not going to use any terminology here to rail anybody up. When it occurred and people were being gassed in their villages, there's a village in Syria that was gassed. Everyone in it died. Everyone. I have a friend who was a resident with me. He was a resident with me. He was sleeping with me in the same room. We were on call together. He lost everyone he knew. He lost his mind. Eventually, he completely lost his mind. Everyone he knew died within one day. Everybody. The whole village was completely wiped off. There was no one left. He couldn't. It was too much. He could not comprehend it. He could not understand. He couldn't. He didn't know what to do. Because he's in Damascus. And when you're in residency, you have to be on call quite often. So he hadn't been there for a long time. And when it occurred, no one was left there. He called every number he had. No one picked up because there was no one left. See, when that happened, people feel that someone should say something. Someone should take a stand. No one did. But that's not something surprising. Because something similar happened just a couple of years before to the country on our right. And before that, a few years before in the country on our left. And 70 years before to the country on our left as well. It happened and no one cared. As Muslims, we cannot afford to behave that way. We can't. We cannot afford to see something that's happening that's wrong, no matter how small it is, no matter what field or discipline it's in, and say nothing about it. We need to advocate for what is haqq, to the best of our ability. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم يا فوز المستغفرين استغفر الله. الحمد لله وحده وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده. وأني وأخواتي لم أترجم هذه الخطب منذ أسابيع لغزارة المعاني التي فيها ولإرادة إكمال الخطبة في اللغة التي ابتدأتها بها، ولكن سأعرج سريعا لإخوتي وأخواتي الذين لا يتحدثون اللغة الإنجليزية ويفقهون العربية، لأن قضية المناصرة والنصرة قضية جوهرية في مفهومنا كمسلمين، سواء كنت متدينا أو غير متدين كمسلم عربي. إذا نشأت في بلد عربي فهذه القضية مفهومة عندك، وإن لم تكن ممارسة، يعني لم كمسلمين نحن لم نمارس هذا المعنى إطلاقا، لم نطبق هذا المعنى إلا قليلا، ربما إذا يعني حصل غزو لبلد من البلدان فتحنا يعني حدودنا ليدخل الناس ثم نظلمهم ونسيء إليهم ونسبهم ونشتمهم ونشتم الساعة التي أدخلناهم إلينا ونحدث عنصرية بيننا وبينهم ثم نفترق، فهذا نعم نفعله. أما عدا ذلك النصرة عندنا ضعيفة، لكنها كمفهوم هي قضية واضحة جدا، والله سبحانه وتعالى أوضحها في كتابه العزيز كثيرا، والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمر بها وطبقها. يعني كما قال أمير تلمسان: وننصر مظلوما ونمنع ظالما إذا شيك مظلوم بشوكة ظالمي. هكذا كان العرب قبل الإسلام، وهكذا بقوا لسنين طويلة بعد الإسلام، ثم أتى زماننا فامتنعنا شيئا ما عن النصرة وقصرنا فيها. لكنك كمسلم في هذه البلد، هنا في هذا البلد أنت قادر على التعبير عن رأيك، هنا أنت قادر على القيام بالنصرة بأساليب لم تكن تحلم بها من قبل. لما كنت في بلدك يا حبيبي ما كان أحد يسمعك، ولو تكلمت لأخرسك أقرب الناس إليك والأسكتك أهلك ومناصروك، لكنك في بلد أنت قادر على التعبير، وهذا التعبير هذا الصوت الذي عندك إن لم تستخدمه لنفسك استخدمه لغيرك. فليكن عندنا استثمار كمجتمع مسلم في الغرب في نصرة أنفسنا ونصرة إخواننا الذين يعيشون معنا والذين يعيشون بعيدين عنا، فيما استطعنا على الأقل نكون لهم صوتا، على الأقل نكون لهم صوتا. Advocacy in my opinion comes in a few forms for us here. Number one, through media, for sure we need to have a presence within media, meaning our narrative has to make it to an international or national media outlet, meaning what we believe has to make it there. Our problems, our pet peeves, what upsets us, what causes us to feel that we don't belong, what causes us to feel oppressed, that has to make it to a source, an outlet source of some sort, so that people understand what it is that we want or that what it is that we don't want. And if you don't have that presence, no one knows. Meaning, the majority of people just don't know what it is that Muslims care for. Now, yes, people in power do, but the majority of people don't, because we don't have presence in media, number one. Number two, we need political advocacy. For sure, political advocacy. This doesn't mean having a political party. No, I'm talking about lobbying. I'm talking about a group of people making sure that what they need is going to be granted by whoever gets voted in. Because it doesn't matter who gets voted in. It doesn't matter. Nothing changes. How long have you been alive? What has ever changed? Honestly, nothing changes. It's all the same thing. It's just a different color and a different animal behind it and a different person who's actually representing it. Nothing changes. But what does change is that if people want something and they advocate for it and they put wealth behind it and they put their votes behind it, then things suddenly become important. Then suddenly their opinion finds its way through the large narrative, the big picture narrative that exists within that political party. And that's what we need. How to do that, I have no idea. I honestly have zero idea. This is not something I understand. It's not. But I do know that there are people who do understand it and care for it, especially the upcoming generation. This is something that you need to spend time. You need to invest in this. You need to figure out how that's going to happen. And then you need to actually put us all at a point where we have to support you, because that's definitely needed. Not only advocacy for our own rights, not to make sure that we can send our kids to school to hear something that we want them to hear, but not only that, but also so that our Muslim brothers and sisters are not seen as less than human as they are being slaughtered and killed. At least, I can't stop them from being killed and destroyed, but at least they have to be seen as human. At least when that happens to them, we see that as a tragedy, it makes the news, someone cares, at least that. Raising awareness. And that's outside of media and outside of political advocacy. Raising awareness amongst the Muslim community. Within the Muslim community, you need to make sure that the next generation cares for this. Brothers and sisters who come from backgrounds that are still being oppressed, like myself, or Palestinians, or brothers and sisters from parts of the subcontinent, or brothers and sisters who come from parts of China or from Africa, who come from countries that are still being oppressed, you have to make sure that your children still understand that they stand for something, that there's a social justice cause here that is worth their time. You can't afford for them to grow up not feeling that attachment. You can't afford, if you do that, which is what everyone thinks is going to happen, this is what the, by the way, the numbers, that's what they say. The numbers indicate that it's just a couple of, it's just a generation or two, and then everyone will forget about everything. They bargain on that. They bargain on the fact that the Palestinian brother, his direct descendants, and then second generation, by then, they'll forget about this whole problem. And none of this has to be talked about anymore. They bargain on that. So no, advocacy is making sure that that keeps stays alive, and that we actually invest time and money into that. And then finally, education, obviously. So we go back to the first community investment, education. Advocacy, a big part of it is education, is proper information, making it to the ears of people. They understand what the truth is, what actually happened, who actually is oppressive here, who needs to be held accountable. That's very important. That needs to make it. That we need to make sure that that happens. Today, we come close, in a few days, we come close to the anniversary of the Afzal family, rahimahumullahu ajma'in. May Allah have mercy upon them. Say ameen. They were a part of our community. They sat exactly where you were. I still remember Brother Suleiman very, very well. He attended every halaqah I gave in LMM for at least 5 years. Every single one of them. Not just him, but his wife as well. They both, they sat. I used to have at the back part of the masjid, and there was a little bit of masahif desks, and the lady, she would sit right. She was the only lady sitting behind. For 2 years, she was the only lady who attended it. She brought ladies. They attended every, I know them very well. I know their children. I taught them in school. They don't sit here anymore. It's only been, almost been 2 years. 2 years since that very, very dark day. That day filled with hatred, filled with racism, filled with every bad characteristic, every bad attribute they can possibly imagine, manifesting itself in the cold-blooded murder of a family. Until this day, the person who did it, imagine getting into a car and ramming people on a sidewalk, and it takes 2 years and you're still not convicted. Whoever died that day must have not had much of an advocating community behind them. The community must have not advocated too much for their rights. Because I can tell you, if it was someone else who was killed that day, by someone else, a very different outcome would have occurred. A very different outcome. Oh, I can see it now. Oh, I can see it. Oh, I can hear the media outlets. Oh, I can actually come up with what they would say. I can come up with the slogans and the logos. I can come up with how they, oh, that this would be a completely different experience for everybody. Don't blame others. All right? What I'm saying, don't blame ourselves. We don't advocate for ourselves. We don't. We don't advocate for ourselves. We don't advocate for what we believe in. We don't. We're not organized enough, and we don't have that as a part of what we believe, of what we do. That's why I'm saying invest in advocacy. We need to start investing in that to make sure that this does not happen again. To make sure that this does not happen again. And to make sure that everyone here has their rights to be who they want to be and to believe and to carry their values and to feel respected when they do. We allow one person to be oppressed and we turn a blind eye. It's just a matter of time before we're next. It's just a matter of time. That is the qadr. That is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You allow oppression, it will come and haunt you later. 100% it will haunt you, 100%. So we have to rethink this whole thing. For the next week, there's going to be a lot of events in the different masajid regarding the anniversary of our beloved martyrs of our community, Shuhada Una, Afzal family. Please attend as many as you can and show your support and advocate for them. Because they're not here. They don't have a voice. See, when someone dies, easy to do whatever you want because they don't have a voice anymore. They can't speak back. As long as someone is alive, you're always scared because once they hear what you said or what you did, they'll have an opinion and they'll say something. But when they're dead, that's it. They can't do that anymore. They don't have a voice anymore. They don't. So they depend on you and I to make sure that they do have a voice. And so many people in the world depend on you as well. A lot of people do. A lot of people who don't have voices, who expect you to be their voice. They do. They do because you look like them. You have similar last names and you have similar backgrounds as well. It's our obligation to think down those lines. I hope that was a benefit for you. Forgive me for taking too much time. Again, this week, the vigil, I think, is on Tuesday. Starts around 6 p.m. if I'm not not the incorrect, and please go out and support and stand by them and make sure that our presence is felt, inshallah ta'ala. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ كَمَا صَلَّيْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَعَلَى آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَبَارِكْ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ كَمَا بَارَكْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَعَلَى آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي الْعَالَمِينَ إِنَّكَ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ وَأَرْضَى اللَّهُمَّ عَنِ الْأَرْبَعَةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ السَّادَةِ الْحُنَفَاءِ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرَ وَعُثْمَانَ وَعَلِيٍّ وَأَرْضَى اللَّهُمَّ عَنْ أَزْوَاجِهِ أُمَّهَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَعَنْ آلِهِ الطَّيِّبِينَ الطاهرين وعن صحابته الغر الميامين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين وارفع الغم عن المغمومين وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين واحقن دماءنا ودماء المسلمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المرابطين في المسجد الأقصى ورده إلينا في العاجل القريب يا رب العالمين وردنا أجمعين إليك وإلى دينك ردا جميلا وتب علينا من جميع ذنوبنا توبة نصوحا طهرنا بها قلبا وجسدا وروحا وما ذلك عليك اللهم بعزيز ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون أقم الصلاة.